take a look at the words of the Ramban. So again, we know that the Ramban had a very special relationship in general with the land of Israel. The Ramban is amongst all of the Rishonim, the one who promotes mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael above all the others. The famous Hasaga to the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos, where the Ramban takes the Rambam to task for not enumerating it amongst the 248 mitzvos asay. Not to say that the Rambam didn't believe very strongly in the value of living in Israel, and certainly in the issur of leaving the land of Israel under any circumstances. And you know, his discussion, the Rambam's discussion of this entire topic in Hilchos Melachim Perek Hey, as we're just advancing ourselves closer and closer to Yom HaAtzmaut, is certainly relevant and always good to review that. So it wasn't as if the Rambam was, denigrating the value of living in Israel, but for whatever reason, and there are different theories, not for now, about why the Rambam didn't enumerate it, the Ramban certainly did, and it didn't stop there, but the Ramban, as Rashi does, to be honest, but the Ramban always had, in context, he got more credit for it. He quotes the Sifrei, that all the mitzvos that we do outside the land of Israel, even the mitzvos shebegavra, even personal mitzvos, are really begeder chinuch. It's a little hard to understand exactly what the Ramban meant by that, but hatzivi lach tzionim, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that when we return to the land of Israel, shelo yu aleichem kechadashos, that they shouldn't really be new for us. So this essay has to be understood as part of the Ramban's, broader fascination with the land of Israel and the special connection between God and the land of Israel and between the Jewish people and the land of Israel and between the Jewish people and God and the land of Israel. It's all integrated for him. So the Ramban says here again in Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yudches, Hinei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yivtiach Es Avram B'matanas Haaretz Pa'amim Rabim V'chulam L'tzorech Inyan. It's a very fascinating thing. The Ramban is going to discuss four separate instances where Avram was promised the land of Israel for his descendants, but each for a particular purpose, for a particular reason, with differing scopes, and sometimes with a different point altogether. So, Bevo Baretz Chila, remember this dramatic moment, Amar Lo Lezaracho Etein Es Haaretz Hazos. And as Rashi notes at the time, we spent a lot of time, focused on this. This was double news to Avram. It was double news in what sense? L'zaracha etenes ha'aretz hazos, Elisha? Exactly. So there's the besores hazera and the besores ha'aretz. Right? But the issue was, it's a little vague, l'zaracha etenes ha'aretz hazos, v'lo bier matanaso. But what isn't explained is what exactly the matana consists of. Ki ein b'mashma rak b'masha halach ba'aretz ad mekom shechem ad elon morah. It maybe could have been, geographically speaking, a very minimal gift. It's aretz azos. Avram surely, would have been makir tov. He would have been grateful, but it would not have been anywhere near approaching, the geographic boundaries of the land of Israel, let's say, as expressed here. L'zarecho etein es aretz azos. It really could have just been, the place where Avram had, been up until that point. Vayavor Avram ba'aretz ad mekom shchem ad ilon morah. So that's stage one. Stage two. V'achri chen, sherabu zechuyosav, that when Avram's mitzvos, his zechuyos, his credit increased, ba'aretz hosiflo, sano einacho re'ei tzafonu v'negva v'kedma v'yama, look around in all directions, north, south, east, west, ki tein lo kol aretzos hohein bichlalon. Now he was being expanded, the gift was being expanded, from Elon Moreh and Shechem and the surrounding environs to all directions. Ve'ein atam, don't understand the pasuk, says Ramban, asher ata ro'eh b'enecha ki ro'os ha'adam einenu l'merchak. It doesn't really mean only as far as your eye can see, because, the human vision is limited. Rak sheyitein lo l'chol mar'ei nav haruchos, meaning in all directions. You will inherit the north and the south and the east and the west. Or, now a fascinating possibility, o sheherehu kol eretz Yisrael kasher haya b'moshe Rabbeinu. As the pasuk says in Vizos HaBracha, Vayareu Hashem es kol haaretz es hagilad ad dan. Right, that Hashem really did show Moshe miraculously, you know, as is detailed there, you know, in with great precision, you know, all of the different localities that Moshe Rabbeinu saw. So maybe Avram was given a similar vision as well. So that was stage two, where Avram is told it's going to be a geographic expanse that goes well beyond the immediate environs of Shechem and Elon Moreh. V'hosiflo b'bracha hashenis hazos od ulezaracha od olam v'sheyirbe zaro ke'afar ha'aretz. Right, and this second time, it wasn't just that the geographic boundaries were being expanded, but even more so, that his zera, his offspring, would be expanded geometrically, sheyir bezaro ke'afar ha'aretz, and also lezaracha ad olam. And it wasn't just that his descendants, Eitan, would inherit it for a century or 2 centuries or 3 centuries, but really in perpetuity. Okay? That was stage two. So an expansion of the geography, an expansion of what zera means quantitatively, and then also an expansion of what you know, the Yerusha really means, from being, you know, maybe on a limited historical basis to being something in perpetuity. Now in this section right here, at the tail end of the Bris Ben Binabasarim, we're told the boundaries, right? Minahar Mitzrayim Ada Nahar Hagadol Nahar Pras. So this now represents a third stage. V'hiskir lo kol ha'amim asara umos. And all 10 nations, the Keni, the Knizi, the Kadmoni, the Chiti, the Prizi, the Rephaim, the Amori, the Knani, the Girgashi, the Yevusi. So in this third vision, he's being given the boundaries of the land, number one. Number two, the nations that will be inherited. And number three, right, Bayomahu Karas Hashemes Avram Bris Lemor. Right, the Bris itself, the covenant, Lichros lo Bris Aleim Shelo Yigrom Hachet. That from this point on, there's an inoculation against any future sin cutting away at the inheritance of the land, stage three. So to review, stage one is just the land surrounding Elon Moreh and Shechem. Stage two is all of the directions, Tzafona, Negba, Kedma, Yama, the fact that the Zera would be very numerous, and the fact that it would be a gift in perpetuity. And here we're finally given the final boundaries, Minahar Mitzrayim and Nahar Pras, all of the nations that would be inherited, and the fact that this is associated with the covenant, Shema Yigro Machet, that no future sin would be able to undermine what it was that was being transmitted from Hashem to Avram and his descendants. And now fourth, V'chasher Tzivo Al Amila, so in the context of another bris, namely Bris Mila, Amar Lo La'achuzas Olam, Lemor Shem Yiglu Mimena Od, Yashuvu V'yanchiluha. So that if at any point in the future, she'im yiglu mimena, excuse me, od yashuvu v'yanchilua, that they will return to the land and they will inherit it. And that was the special contribution of the fourth and final promise, that even exile itself, geographic disbursement and displacement, would not undermine the connection between Zera Avram and the land of Israel. And finally, v'hosif ayisi lahem le'lohim, very important theological point, something that the Rabban discusses extensively in his Perush Al Torah, Shehu bichvodo yanhigosam, that God would directly supervise the Jewish people in the land of Israel, v'lo yu bememsheles kochav u'mazal osar misare mala, kasher yizbar od batorah, as I will return to most famously in Parashas Achrimos. So what the Rabban means by that is that Avram was told that his descendants would be directly under divine control. And even though the Ramban believed in this like astrological, cosmological vision of the universe, where all the nations of the world were being supervised, not directly by God, but through these intermediaries called Kochavim Umazalos, you know, God obviously has veto power over their behavior, but the Jewish people, you know, experience direct divine revelation. That's how the Ramban interprets the Pasuk, Elohei Nechar Haaretz, that gods that are foreign to the land of Israel, because the land of Israel is a place, Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doreshosa, Tamid Enei Hashem Elokecha Ba, Mereshis Hashana Ad Acharis Shana. So the point is that the land of Israel would be a place not just that Avram's descendants would inherit, but that Avram's descendants would experience very significant dveikus, a sense of closeness with the divine. So let's review again the four stages. The Zarecha Atenis Haaretz Hazos could have just been Elon Moran Shechem, stage one. Stage two, it's all directions, it's all of the Ruchos, whether he literally saw it or not, and the idea that the Zera would be expanded greatly, Ka'afar Haaretz, and that it would be a gift in perpetuity, not just for 100 years or 200 years, but ad olam. And the third stage is the Tchumei Haaretz are delineated, Minahar Mitzrayim ad Nahar Pras. The 10 nations that would be inherited are also stated, the Keni, the Knisi, the Kadmoni, so on and so forth. And at that stage, you know, when the boundaries of the land are being expressed and the nations from which we would inherit the land are being detailed, there's Krisas Bris. Vayomahu Karas Hashem es Avraham Bris Lemor Lezaracha Nasati es Haaretz Hazos. The idea is that even if Avram was concerned for so long, Shema Yigrom Hachet, that a future sin would undermine the connection to the land of Israel, now he's being told that no such thing will happen. And the fourth and final stage in the context of Bris Mila is Achuzas Olam, that even geographic displacement would not sever the connection between Avram's descendants and the land of Israel, but then also a very important chiddush, that the sovereignty over the Jewish people in the land of Israel would be God's alone, not through any sar or kochav or mazal, but really direct hashba'ah, direct connection that would be felt there. And so this tells us something, of course, about the Jewish people, Hashem, and the land of Israel, and the special relationship between all three elements of that triad. So again, the Ramban doesn't think these are just redundant promises, but as he notes, you know, Kasher here bezechu Yosef, that they were, you know, increasing levels of, you know, promise of the land. And so I just wanted to conclude, you know, my presentation of this to you with the following observation. It's really interesting. You know, it starts off, you know, in terms of the progress, is seems like more material progress, more land, more zera, more time. You know, those are the initial stages. More nations that will be inherited. The boundaries keep on expanding. There will be more offspring that you'll have. But the, you know, like apotheosis, the highest expression of this promise of transference of the land of Israel to Avram's descendants is not so much an expansion of the material, of the geographic boundaries, and how much zero there will be, and how many nations that they'll inherit, and for how much of history, and even if they're exiled. But what it really comes down to, what it really boils down to, you know, the highest level of the promise is the idea that therein, in the land of Israel itself, is where the Jewish people will be able to most fully express their relationship with God. And as you move from something which is much more quantifiable, how many descendants Avram will have, and what the boundaries of the future land of Israel will be from the Har Mitzrayim and the Har Pras, and how many nations are going to be inherited, and then it's not just Elon, Moreh, and Shechem. Those are the three initial stages of the promise. But the fourth stage of the promise, Vayisi Lahem Lelokim, really says that the idea here isn't like, oh, you'll have a piece of land, you know, that you'll be able to call your own, that, you know, that this is nationalism, or that this is statism, or that it's, you know, the idea of just controlling territory for territory's sake. But the real point here is Vayisi Lahem Lelokim, that there in that land you'll be able to most, you know, profoundly express your connection with the Almighty. So that really is the apotheosis of these four communications. It's not just that you'll have the land of Israel, but the land of Israel will serve as the venue, as the locale, where you will most fully express your connection with the Almighty, that it won't be mediated via any sar, kochav, or mazal. And here the Ramban, again, as he himself notes, is alluding to what he thinks is really special about the land of Israel. And maybe this is also an explanation for that famous statement of Chazal, you know, which the Ramban, of course, you know, notes, and the Rambam does as well. You know, Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Shkula Keneged Kol HaTorah Kula, The idea that living in Israel, in some sense, is the equivalent of all the other mitzvahs in the Torah. So what I would say is that, you know, possible explanation for that is the idea that that's really where we experience our closest relationship, our fullest relationship with Hashem. So, you know, if the goal of every mitzvah in the Torah, in some sense, is Asher Kiddushetim B'mitzvosav, to grant us greater Kiddusha, Kiddoshim Tiyu Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and thereby to draw closer to God through performance of mitzvos, so it could be that the land of Israel, you know, is kind of an end around, not that you can be there and not perform the mitzvos, because as the Torah says, you know, innumerable times, you know, Vatakia Aretz Eschem, you'll just be ejected from the land. You know, the land has very little tolerance for spiritual, you know, malfeasance and negligence. But the point is that, you know, if you are observing the mitzvos, so then, you know, that closeness with Hashem is most manifest there. So mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael shkula k'neged kol mitzvah shkula, because just like each individual mitzvah is meant to help us draw a little closer to Hashem, you know, being in the land of Israel, which for the Ramban scheme means that's the one place where, you know, there's no mediation. It's just, there's no sar, there's no kochav, there's no mazal. It's Hashem's hashra'ah and his hashgacha, you know, over the Jewish nation in its entirety in a very profound way, in a very direct way. So that could be very much part of the interpretation of mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael shkula k'neged kol mitzvah shebet Torah, because as a singular mitzvah, it sort of gets to the point of the aggregate or the sum of all mitzvahs. This last point was just conjecture. I'm just, you know, giving you my own interpretation of what that line might mean, you know, and something hopefully for you guys to think about. Okay, so those are the four stages.